thank you, choir, thank you, Mike, and we're so grateful this morning for the music, just the time of worship today. Pray that this morning, as we kind of transition, I want to recognize some of our graduating seniors before I get into the message this morning. And I know Tanner's making his way around here somewhere. Where's he at?
He had to freshen up.
There you go. Am I not on?
Start all over again. That's why he's late. Again. So, I'm going to say this. Yesterday, I had the privilege, opportunity to share with the graduates at Porter's Chapel Academy. And I know some of you may have been there. Some of you may have watched it online. And so I just, as I shared that yesterday, as I was preparing for the week, I just felt that, man, it's a great reminder for all of us. We're all still in school, right? We learn things every day, right? When I got out of school that it was over with. I didn't have to read, I didn't have to study, I didn't have to learn, all those kind of things. And man, I'm telling you, all of life is a school, right? Right? Now that Tanner's made his way in and all the way to the back to sit, I'm going to ask Tanner if he would to make his way forward this morning. I want to recognize Tanner Green today. Would y'all give Tanner a hand this morning? Man, we're so grateful for Tanner today. And just come stand right here, brother. Just come stand right around here. Tanner is graduating this year. Warren Central High School, and he is going to be going to USM this fall. And we're trying to talk him into majoring in some type of music field. He is going there. He's going to be majoring in music, and he has scholarships already, and has tried out an audition for different groups there, and has been accepted in all of those. And we're just looking forward to what God's going to do in Tanner's life in the years ahead. And I know that God's got great plans for him, and God's going to use him for his glory and for his honor. And again, just give him a Trinity congratulations. We're going to do something a little different this morning. We have some college graduates this morning. We have Taylor Lampkin, and we also have Cassie Lampkin. And I'm going to ask them to make their way forward this morning. Both of these are graduating college. They've been down the road. And so I want to recognize them as well this morning and their accomplishments. And give them a hand this morning. Let them know. One of the things that's kind of unique, kind of special with Taylor and Cassie both is a lot of times our graduates will go off to school and we get a little disconnected. And so we've had the privilege really with Taylor and Cassie to watch them even through their college years and still be faithful here and serve and all those kind of things. And so we're grateful to them this morning as well. She's a glutton for punishment. She's still doing some schooling. She is going back to school now to major and do some radiology work and that sort of thing, be certified in radiology and what's the other? Spotting. So she'll poke you in the arm and draw your blood and all those kind of things. So stay away from her, okay? Taylor's done all the hard work. Now he gets to do the hardest work. Now he gets to start his student teaching. And so he's gotten all the classwork done. Now he's going to start doing the student teaching this fall. And he'll officially graduate in May. But hey, this is a special time of year, so we wanted to recognize them as well. So I want to present them this morning. We have a Bible that I wanted to present to them. And I told Taylor and Cassie, I said, I know we gave y'all Bibles when you graduated high school, but this is a better Bible. This is a Jesus Bible, okay? And so I want to present each one of them this Bible. And it really is. They can testify. Shake your head. Yes. Notice what it says on the Bible. It says the Jesus Bible, right? It says the Jesus Bible. And so here's what's really unique about this Bible. Luke Giglio and several have led in editing on this, on the study notes and that sort of thing. And you know, there's some things in the Old Testament you read, you go, what does this have to do with anything? You know? And this is a really good study Bible because it takes all of those little obscure Old Testament passages that we kind of wonder about, and it really points out this has to do with Jesus. This points to Christ. And so it helps us to understand that all of the Bible is about Him. It's a hymn book. It's all about Jesus, right? I said that one Sunday. I got it to preach. I said, open your hymn book to John chapter whatever. And one lady picked up her hymnal and was trying to find it. But it is a hymn book. It's all about Him. And so my prayer, my desire for you as you read God's Word, as you study, that you grow to know Him more, you discover more about Him, and you grow in a deeper, more intimate, personal love relationship with Him. That's the most important lesson in life. Amen? Amen. Congratulations to each and every one of them. Amen? Give them a you guys this morning. And man, we're looking forward to what God's going to do in them and through them through the years. God's got special stuff. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to follow along with me in Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs in the 9th chapter. It's kind of interesting when we think about graduating high school. How many of you can even remember that far back? For me, it was just a few years ago. Not that I was very studious, but anyway. Think about this. For Tanner, for these high school graduates, you've been in school now for 2,340 days. You've spent 16,380 hours in class, except for the ones you skipped. That translates into 982,800 minutes. So far, you've lived approximately 18 years. You've been around 216 months. You've been breathing 936 weeks. You've been going through the motions 6,552 days. You've been alive 157,248 hours. You've been taking up space 9,434,880 minutes. And you've slept 52,500 hours. Some of you probably slept more than that, especially through history or one of those classes, right? You've spent 12,775 hours on social media, and you've spent 7,488 hours eating, predominantly pizza, right? Man, that's a lot of time spent already. And yet, if you think about graduation is not an end. Graduation is a beginning. We have commencement services. And the very word commencement means to begin. It is the beginning of the rest of your life. It's the beginning of the rest of your days. And so think about what you have to look forward to. Think about what days lie ahead. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man to live, you know, 70. You know, if God really blesses you, that's 70 years of life, right? Think about it. If you live to be 70 years old, the Bible says, or if you do the calculation, it says then that you'll sleep 24 years, you'll work 14 years, you'll play a total of 8 years. You'll eat a total of 6 years. Drive 5 years. Talk 4 years. Go to school 3 years. You'll be sick for 3 years. And you'll study and read an additional 3 years. So all of life that we've lived, we have so much more to live. And that's why I think it's really important for us this morning, not only for these high school and college graduates, but for you and I as well, to understand that we have so much of life to live. That God has a purpose and a plan for our life. No matter where we're at in life, no matter what our age is, there's still more life to live. And there's so much that God has in store for us. In reality, there's still a lot of learning for us to do. And so this morning, when you look in your Bible here, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9, it says this: give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. What does that mean? It means this. For the wise man, is always desiring to learn more. A wise man is never satisfied with what he knows. He wants to know more. There are some people who think, well, I know it all. I know enough. I know more than anybody else. And those people are not really wise. Because the wise man, the Bible says, will have a desire to learn even more. The day you quit learning is the day you become foolish, according to the Scriptures. And so every day we need to wake up. What does God want to teach me today? What is there to learn today? And so as we think about this life that God's given us, it is a life of learning. It's life university, right? And so what can we learn from life? When I think about school, I think about life, there's a lot of parallels. In school, there are required subjects, right? There's those core subjects that you have to take. You know, there's the math, there's the history, there's the reading, you know, all of those kind of things, English. And in life, there are required subjects. So think with me this morning. There's three required subjects in life that we need to consider this morning. And the first required subject is life itself. We're required to live. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says in Job 33 and verse 4, it says this: the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And then in Psalms 119 and verse 50, it says this: this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The fact that you're here today is proof that God has given you a life to live. You're required of God to live this life. He's given you this life to steward, to watch over, to live out. And so it's a great privilege, but it's a great responsibility as well. I like what Henry Ward Becker said. He said, God asks no man whether he will accept life. That is not the choice. You must take it. The only question is how. You have a life to live. The biggest question is, how are you going to live that life? When you think about your life, think about this. You actually had absolutely no input in a lot of your life, really. You know, think about it. You had no choice where you would be born. You had absolutely no choice when you would be born. You didn't choose your birthday. You had no choice in who your parents are. You didn't even get to choose your name. All of your life was given to you, and you had no choice but to accept it. That's the life that's been given to you. And we have this requirement. Now, many of our graduates, and many of you as adults, you've spent your life trying to make a living without living. Come on now, think about it. Man, we get up in the world and we go to work and we get in the grind of making a living and paying the bills and buying things and accumulating things and all those kind of things. And at the end of the day, we look back and we go, I don't know that I really lived. I worked, I paid the bills, I earned a living, but I don't know that I ever lived. I remember years ago, we were driving down the street one day, and we were getting close to my daughter's birthday, and we were talking about her birthday party, what we were going to do. She was turning 12 that year, and I remember it distinctly. And we were driving, and I looked at my wife, and I was like, I cannot believe my baby girl is going to be 12 years old. Where in the world have I been? And from the back seat, she said, at work. At work. Man, it cut, you know? And here we are years later, and I still remember that day. And I think about that constantly. You know, we get so involved making a living and working and doing all the things that we think that are required of us, and we forget to do the one thing that's really required of us, and that's live. Just enjoy life. To take this gift that God has given us. The Bible says that today is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Man, every day of life that God gives us should be something that we celebrate. In Psalms 90 and verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That is to make the most of every day of life that God gives us. Now, I did a little calculating here. And if you live 70 years, that means that you would live 25,550 days. That's a lot of days. It's a lot of days. I've been, as a pastor, I've been at the gravesite many times. I've officiated over services of newborns that didn't survive. I've officiated over services where a child maybe was just a few months old. I've officiated where I have passed away tragically, but I've also had the privilege of officiating over some services where people lived long, long lives. Two in particular. One young lady by the name of Miss Ruby. Miss Ruby lived over 100 years. I calculated when I did her service that Miss Ruby had lived 37,214 days. One of her dear friends, Miss Dorothy Intrican, also lived to be over 100 years old. And in her service, she calculated 36,870 days. And you know the thing that stands out to me about these ladies? Is that they lived every day. I mean, late into their life, man, they were still driving, they were still going, they were still doing, they were still serving. They lived the life that God gave them to live. We're required to live. We're required to live this life that God entrusted with us. But there's another requirement. Not only is the life that we live, but God's also required us to die. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and it is appointed for man to die once. We're all given life to live, but we're also required to die. They did a recent study here a while back and found that one out of one people will die. Some of you will get in lunch and you'll have a mouthful of food and you'll realize what I just said. You'll choke. Hope you don't die. No. That was bad. But we're required. We're required to die. It has been appointed. There is an appointment that you're going to die. One day, life as you know it here on earth will come to an end. I'm a kind of a golf fanatic. Don't play as much as I used to, but still, love the game. Been watching this weekend, tournaments and things. One of the golfers that I used to love to watch was a guy by the name of Paul Azinger. He's a commentator now. But Paul Azinger, in his prime, he was winning tournaments. He won several majors. But at the age of 33, in the prime of his career, Paul Azinger was diagnosed with cancer. And Paul Azinger was confronted with the reality that, hey, although I'm on top of the golf world and although everything is good in my life, now there is this reality of death. And in an interview, he said, you know, a genuine feeling of fear came over me. I could die from cancer. He said, then a greater reality came over me that hit me even harder. He said, I'm going to die eventually anyway. whether it's cancer or something else, eventually I'm going to die. The question is only when. He said this. He said, I've made a lot of money since I've been on the tour, and I've won a lot of tournaments, but that happiness is always temporary. The only way you will ever have true contentment is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that nothing ever bothers me and that I don't have problems, but I feel like I've found the answer to the 6-foot hole. We're required to live, and then we're required to die. The psalmist says in Psalms 89 and verse 48, what man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his own life from the power of the grave? You know, for many young people today, they feel like they're invincible. They'll never die. Death is something that happens to old people. Death doesn't discriminate. And even if only old people die, guess what? You're going to get old one day. I don't care how young you are. If you don't die, the only other option you've got is to get old. Right? But I've discovered this. You're really never ready to live until you're ready to die. It's knowing that you're in a right relationship with God, that you're ready to die, that you can really enjoy life. Which really kind of leads to the third requirement. We're required to live, we're required to die, and then we're required to face the judgment. You see, that verse says there in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says that it is appointed for man to die once. But, it says, after this, the judgment. You'll die, and then you'll face judgment. Elmer Hoover said, in the day when all men will stand before God, the significant question for each of us will no longer be what we think of Christ, but what He thinks of us. One day we're going to stand and give an account. One of the things that really kind of blew it for school for me was test. I didn't really mind going to school. I didn't really mind listening to the lectures. I didn't really mind the reading assignments too much. What really bothered me was tests. You know, they wanted to know if you really read it. They really wanted to know if you comprehended it, if you understood it or not. Man, if you could take tests out of school, it'd make school a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? Right? Come on now. I'm not the only one. Right? I remember years ago, I had a guy in our church. His son was actually the professor of Greek down in New Orleans. He had a grandson that started teaching Greek down in New Orleans. And Dr. Ray himself, he was a retired missionary, been on the mission field for 30 years. And he'd bring his New Testament, his Greek New Testament in the church. He was very fluent in the Greek. And so I told him, I said, hey, I want to learn Greek. And he said, well, my son teaches it. I said, yeah, I don't want to take his test. And so for several years, he would come in my office on Wednesday nights after church and he would teach me Greek so I wouldn't have to take the test. So this is one of those things, I don't mind learning, but I just don't want to have to take the test. And I found that in life, there's a lot of folks like that. We don't mind living, but we just don't want to have to take the final test. Some of us struggle when it comes to that test, right? We're kind of like the little boy I heard about in school when he got his report card and he had all else on it. Took it up to his teacher and he said, before I take this home, he said, I'm going to give you one last opportunity to change all these else to A's. Teacher said, why in the world would I want to do that? He said, well, my dad said, if I bring home one more failing report card, somebody's going to be in trouble. See, we want to blame the teacher. We want to blame the principal, right? Sometimes we want to blame our boss. We want to blame somebody else for our failures and for our mistakes. But there's going to come a day when we're going to stand before God on our own two feet with nobody else there but ourselves, and we're going to have to give an account. Now, the Bible speaks of two types of judgments. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what has done, whether good or bad. This speaks of a judgment seat before Christ, where we as believers, those of us who have trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're going to stand, and our works are going to be tested by fire, and all those wood, hay, and stubble things are going to be burned away, and the only things that are precious are going to remain, and we're going to receive a reward for our good works. We're going to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thy good, faithful servant. Enter now, enter into your rest." It's like the Olympic athlete who stands at the podium and they're judged on their performance, and they receive nines, or they receive tens, and they receive their bronze medal or their silver medal or their gold medal. They receive the prize for their work. But for those that have never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's the great white throne judgment. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, for whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." That the great white throne judgment, where we stand before God, and we've rejected Christ, and we receive that final judgment of damnation. I've learned in life that every day should be lived as though it's our final exam, and that graduation depends on it. I want to live today in a way that if today was my last day, if today was my only day, and I had to stand before God based on what I did and who I was today, that I could hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And I'll confess this morning, every day is not a good day. But praise God for the grace of Jesus, right? That's what God offers us today. So life has these required subjects that we all have to take. But if you're like me, when I was in school, what I really enjoyed was not those required subjects. I enjoyed the electives, right? The elective courses, when you're in school, those elective courses, those are kind of like the UBU classes, right? That you get to pick those things that you really enjoy, those things that you have interest in, those things that kind of fit your personality. I love those elective courses. In fact, my freshman year of college, I almost took all of my elective courses. I took handball and volleyball and weightlifting. I took all those easy elective classes, you know. Made the dean's list. My dad wanted to know what I did wrong. But it all went downhill after that, right? But I love the elective classes. You know, God gives you elective classes today. You see, we have these required classes, but even within those required classes, there are electives that you choose. You choose to live that life that God's given you. You choose to live that life saved or lost. The Bible says in Matthew 7 and verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Just as these college graduates and these high school graduates, as they choose their course in life, as they choose their occupation, as they choose that path, you choose a path today. You choose the broad path which leads to destruction, or you choose the narrow path which leads to life. In Isaiah 26 and verse 7 says, "The way of the just is uprightness. O most upright, you weigh the path of the just." Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 42 and verse 3, "That the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing which we should do." There's a way to live that life. And you get to choose this morning. You'll choose to either live life saved or to live life lost. Many are trying to figure out, which way do I go? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so today, it's an elective. You choose to live saved or to live lost. We read stories in the Bible of a rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know the law." And he said, "Oh yeah, I've kept all of those laws and all those rules." And he said, "Yeah, but this is the one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor." And the Bible says that he went away sad. He chose. He made a choice to live lost than to live saved. God will not impose his will on you. God gives you a free will to choose which path you will leave. But not only does he give us an elective to live saved or to live lost, but he also gives us the elective to live spiritual or to live carnal. You see, you can be saved and you still have a choice. Am I going to live this spiritual life in fulfillment of what God's will and purpose is for my life, or am I going to live this carnal life? In Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, Paul writes, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." He says again in Romans 8 verse 7, says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." In Romans 7 and verse 23, he says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Paul describes this life that God's given him to live. And Paul describes the struggle. He says, "Listen, I've chosen Christ, and yet I still struggle. Every day I have to make a choice. Am I going to give in to the weaknesses of my flesh, or am I going to walk in the spirit of truth in God's word?" So every day we make a choice. I'm going to live carnal, according to the flesh, or I'm going to live according to the Spirit. I'm going to live like Galatians chapter 5 describes. I'm going to live where I'm bearing fruit of the flesh, or I'm going to live where I bear fruit of the Spirit. Every day we make that choice. It's an elective. There's a third elective, and that is that not only do we choose to live saved or lost, or to live spiritual or carnal, but we can live scripturally, or we can live logically. One of the most often quoted Bible verses in students' yearbooks is this. It's Proverbs 3 and verse 7. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Moms, parents, grandparents, we all want to try to encourage our children. Don't lean on your own understanding, right? Lean on the Word of God in all of His ways. Acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. So much of life doesn't make sense. I shared with the students yesterday, I shared with you this morning. Man, I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and say, "Pastor, I need to talk to you. Pastor, I need you to pray with me. Pastor, I've got a decision to make. And preacher, I know what the Bible says, but my heart and my mind tell me I need to do this. I know that's not what the Bible says, but I just feel like God's given me this thing in my heart that this is what I should do." I'm telling you, God will never contradict His own word. And when we try to make logical sense out of it sometimes, we find ourselves going against God's Word. And I can tell you, those people that said, "I know this is what God's Word said, but I just feel like this is what I ought to do," it never worked out for them. So we have a choice to make every day. Am I going to live according to the understanding of my own mind, or am I going to live to trust God and His Word? Somebody said this: nature forms us, sin deforms us, school informs us, but only Christ can transform us. Right? You see, the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God created us in His image, and because of sin, we've fallen short of that image. And now when we come into a right relationship with Christ, He saves us and He begins to do a work of sanctification to bring us back. And so He is transforming us from glory to glory back into that image that He created us to be in the first place. That's what God's purpose and God's will is for you. That's why we choose to live saved. We can choose to live spiritual. We can choose to live scripturally. And enjoy the life that God's given us as a gift. Amen. I shared with the graduates yesterday. Tanner, I shared with you this morning, brother. I was not very good in school. And after I got out of school, I realized how important it was to learn. And so, late in life, I began to read and to try to better myself. And I started reading things that would, you know, give me deeper understanding in life. And one of the things that I read, an author that I read, I don't know, I'm not, you know, I challenge you to get on my reading level, okay, brother? Now, Tanner's really a smart guy, if you ever have a conversation with him. But so I read this author, Dr. Seuss. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of him or not. Some deeper reading, you know. He's a doctor, right? I was impressed when I saw doctor. And he wrote a book titled, Oh, the Places You Will Go. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. Your own. And you know what you know. And you are the one who will decide where you go. Choose. Choose to live saved. Choose to live spiritual. Choose to live scriptural. Today, moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, every day it's Life University. Every day we're required to live. Some will meet that requirement to die, and some will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every day we have the elective to choose to live saved, choose to live spiritual, choose to live scriptural. Did you make that choice today? If you've never chosen to live saved, you make that choice today. I pray that God would lead you in that. Hey, would you bow with me this morning? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Today, you'll choose all the places you'll go. Perhaps this morning you would say, Pastor, I've never chosen to live saved. And I really don't even know how to do that. You can do that by simply praying a little prayer like this. God, today, I want to live saved. That preacher said that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And God, today, I choose to receive the gift of salvation in Christ Jesus. Today, I choose to live saved, Father. Would that be your prayer today? In just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And if you've chosen today for the first time to live saved, man, I want to rejoice with you. I want to help you in your new walk with Christ. So I'm going to ask you just to step out from where you're at and make your way forward in just a moment when we begin to sing. So we want to be able to celebrate and rejoice with you. Prayer altars will be open this morning. Maybe you're saved, but you've not been living spiritually. You've not been living scripturally. Maybe today you want to come and make that decision. Get it nailed down with Christ today. Father God, this morning we love you. God, we thank you for the time that we've had together in your word this morning. God, we thank you for the life that you've given us. God, we thank you for the free will to choose. And God, I rejoice for those this morning who have chosen to live saved. Those who have chosen to live spiritual and scriptural. And I pray, God, today, God, for those that are struggling with that decision, God, I pray you'd help them this morning to choose life, to choose salvation. So, Father, today, I pray, God, that on that day when we stand before you, God, we'll be able to stand and hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. God, I thank you for these graduates this morning. God, I thank you for Taylor and for Cassie and for Tanner this morning. God, I pray that today you would just fill their hearts with your spirit. God, God, I pray that you would guide their paths. God, I pray that you would do in and through them great and marvelous works. Father, today we rejoice and we celebrate and we give you praise and glory and honor. And we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Mike's going to come this morning, lead us in a hymn of invitation. This is your opportunity to come this morning. As we stand and as we sing, would you come today? Would you come to Christ this morning? Come right now.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dress where. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world
today that you've chosen Jesus over everything. Hey, listen, if you're still struggling with that decision, man, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And so today, before you leave, make sure you got that right. If you need to talk with me, I'll be around after the service. I want to be able to share that with you today. So again, we're delighted, so thankful that you've been in God's house today. And again, we want to congratulate our graduates and pray God's best for them. Hey, this afternoon, 5 o'clock, we'll have a small group here. My class will be meeting right in here, just outside the sanctuary here in the room. And then we have a group that will be going down to Beautiful Deliverance, doing some work there. And so you come be a part of what God's doing here on Sunday evenings. I know God will bless you richly for doing that. Again, it's been great to be in the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad somebody said, hey, let's go to church this morning? Amen. Amen. Two or three of you. Hope you'll be back next week. Hope you'll be back next week. Hey, invite a friend to be back with you next Sunday as we continue to just worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Mike, what do we got to sing this morning?
Shout to the Lord.
Shout to the Lord. Man, we got a lot to shout about. Amen.
Amen.
Let's do that. Let's sing this morning.
Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise of